This is gonna be cool.
It's Cooper and Anthony.
Okay, so every time we do a TV thing or a Zoom thing where we're on camera, I always have this big giant microphone right in my face, and people are like, can you move the microphone? It's like, yes, but then you're not going to be able to hear me.
Yeah, then you sound like everybody else.
Right. That's a good point.
I can sound like this, and it looks great. Sounds like shit, though, even though we're a radio show, fuckhead.
All right, like,
I look awesome right now.
You look,
awesome.
We can see you great. There's,
I look great.
But you can't hear you.
Right, which is why I have to bring the mic in front of my face.
See how that works? Now it sounds fantastic.
Right. So I've tried lots of different mic stands. The one that the mic came with is plastic and crappy. And it's funny because while it physically fits the microphone, every time I use it, it topples over. Like I understand. I'm
it's
like a weeble myself.
Mic stand.
Yeah, it's top heavy. I'm bottom heavy. So we go together very well. So I had sent you a link to a stable, nice metal mic stand. And
right.
I said, will this fit the microphone that you suggested I buy? Right? So I just sent you a couple of texts of the microphone shoved into this stand. And it not only did it not fit, it came crashing down.
Okay. I do not own the mic I told you to buy. So I don't physically, I've never held that mic in my hand. So I don't know the diameter of that mic. I don't know anything. I just know what kind of mic it is. So when you said, will this stand fit it? I'm like, I guess you hold the mic every fucking day. You should know what kind of mic it is. I never even see it because I just see the top of the mic. I don't see the bottom. So I don't know. I don't know what kind of stand you had before and how it fits into it. I don't know. I don't own this mic.
But you suggested I buy this microphone.
I didn't suggest. I suggested you buy the mic. I didn't suggest the. I just said, yeah, I think it would. I don't know. You can't blame me.
You're the mic expert. I asked you, the mic that you suggested I buy, will this stand fit
See,
it?
This is
will-
why I don't even want to recommend a mic.
This is what you do. This is what you're good at. Like, this is the first time you ever sold me a bill of goods. Like, luckily I can return it because it was Amazon.
I sold you a bill of goods. I said, I think it will because I don't own that mic. Would it fit my mic? Maybe. I don't know. You know how many mic stands I have that I bought that don't fit that I have to return? 155.
Oh, so you were the wrong person to ask about this.
Well,
then.
And the thing is this, so you sent me a photo of the mic and the stand, the new one that you just got, and your mic is all scratched to hell because you're trying to fit it into the stand.
Right, the stand that you told me to buy. If you have a million stands at home, can you figure one out and just send it to me? Can I have one of the ones you have?
No, because I still don't know what kind of fucking mic that is. I still can't see it. And I'm looking at you. I don't know how your stand connects. See, I don't know how your stand connects to that mic. See how it has the little bottom piece? You can probably unscrew it and screw it on another thing. I don't know. I don't own that mic. I just know it's a good mic. I don't own it.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you what I can unscrew it and screw it back on because you're going to give me the wrong answer.
Well, then don't fucking ask me. Take the whole mic to the music store and say, what stand can I get for this?
Music store. Like there's a music store anymore in New York. but here's the thing. You're an expert in this. Aren't you? I'm an expertise. I have my own expertise. You know, like, for example, I make a great banana bread. I'm an expert in banana bread. So good that my dad requests a banana bread a week. He has me under contract that I have to deliver a cranberry banana bread to him every Sunday. Otherwise, I don't even know who he's sending after me. So if I gave you my banana bread recipe and you said to me, I don't have, okay, my secret ingredient is sour cream. I'm giving it away right now. If you said, I don't have sour cream, can I use yogurt?
Mm.
Well, I would know, yes, you can use yogurt, but you can't use whipped cream. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know enough about my recipe that if you ask me a question, what do you think? Can I change it? Can I do this? I would know what to tell you because I'm an expert in that banana bread. You are an expert in microphone related things. This is what you do.
Okay. I will give you an email to a guy and say, Grant at Sweetwater, who's my buddy, and said, hey, find me a stand for this. Because I don't know. It's like perfect example of our relationship, mine and yours. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm driving around today in my car.
Yeah.
And I have Apple Play on my car radio. So when I get a text, I can't read the text, but it pops up on my little thing and says, message from Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
So then I have to reach down, pick up my phone, and look at the text while I'm driving. Or I can have Siri read it to me, but that's just a pain in the ass. So what's going through your head when you see text from Cooper?
What's going through my head?
No, what should be going through my head?
That this is probably important.
When I see that, I say, there's nothing good can come up this text. It's during the day. It's like noon. Nothing good can come of this text. I'm going to get yelled at for a mic stand. I'm going right. to, something is
going
to happen.
Some shitstorm is going on that she is now putting on my shoulders.
Right. Before I even, so I'm driving down the highway doing 75 going, here we go.
Well, I don't have kids to blame. That's why I have you instead. This is why you're in my life. So if something goes wrong, I'd be like, well, I obviously Anthony did something wrong here.
Yeah, I can't imagine how many, I think how many other people get that text and go,
for sake.
Here we go.
Right. Probably most people in my life, which is why most people don't text me back.
There's two ways you can handle it. You can either jump right into it and look at the text. It's kind of like when you jump in the pool. You either jump right in or you go in slowly. So right. It's either do I look at the text or do I just open it or do I let it go for a few minutes? No, you can't let it go for a few minutes because then she'll get pissed.
I'll text again. That's the thing. My friends have learned that if I text them and they don't respond within, I don't know, I guess a reasonable time, which
5
for me
minutes.
Is like, yeah, 5 minutes, I would say. Listen, everyone has their phone in their hand, so I know you see my text. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, oh, I didn't see your
text. Some people are driving on the highway at 75.
Right, but then they stop driving and they could text me back, is my
within
point.
Within 5 minutes.
Well, most of my friends don't have cars and don't drive. Most of my friends are in New York City and they're walking around or they're somewhere and they have their phone in their hand.
They have no excuse.
So if they're not texting me back, they're ignoring me. And then I want to know why. So first I send the text what I need to know, like, hey, do you know X, Y, and Z? If I don't hear back, the next thing is, why are you ignoring me? It's my second text to you.
Yeah. So I get a text. Will this mic stand fit my mic? Maybe, I guess, I don't know.
You said yes. You didn't say, I can show you the text where you said, yeah,
did I say
that
yes?
Should work.
It should work.
That should work.
That should work.
Right.
I don't
that's
know.
A yes. That's a, you didn't say no. There's no way that's going to fit. You're going to have to cram it in like a, like Cinderella's sisters trying to cram their feet
I
to the shoe.
I cannot believe you and your mic is all scratched to hell because you just sat there and went, get the mic in the.
I know. Whose fault is that? That's your fault. That is this, all these scratches, fault.
If it fits nice and easy, then it's right. You don't.
This is how I have sex as well, by the way, in case you're wondering, in case you're like, this sounds very sexual. It's true. This is how I have sex as well. My whole life, I always went after
force
people.
Force it
just, in. It was a forced it right in. Wrong relationship, wrong everything. Just figure it out, force it in, and then we'll figure out afterwards.
Oh, God, it's Cooper. Should I answer it? Should I look at it? It can't be good. It's not a text to say, hi, just thought I'd say hi. Hope you're having a good day. No, it's nothing like that.
Why would I ever say that to you? I never
exactly.
Hope you're having
so
a good day.
So that's what I said. Nothing
I never
good.
Hope your day is good.
Never, nothing good can come of this text. And I'm driving around going, oh, God, what did I do? What did I say?
Uh-huh. Do people text each other and just say, hi, hope you're having a good day?
I don't know, but it's not what I'm getting.
Does anybody in your life do that? Does anybody in your life want you to have a good day?
No, nobody does. And that's why I just love one fresh hell to the next. I'm driving to the next new hell, and I get a text on the way to that hell. And I wonder if she's going to say, hi, it's beautiful here. Just wanted to say hi.
You know, I should really stop because I'm concerned about, I want to make sure you stay healthy. I've gotten in this place in my life where like every little thing I do, I'm like, should I eat this? Should I eat that? Because now I'm thinking about like health and longevity and I don't want to get sick. And I want to, you know, after COVID, it's made me so paranoid that now I'm like that to all the important people in my life as well. I'm like, I can send Anthony a text, but if it stresses him out, that's not healthy for him. What if I don't send them the text and it'll stress me out? That's not healthy for me. So I can't decide which one of us, whose health I feel the most compelled to protect.
It's kind of like pot in my life. Okay. Because when I was younger, when I was, let's say, 18 or 19, and I would smoke pot, it freaked me the fuck out because I thought I would never be the same again.
Right.
I would get paranoid as hell. Going, right. Oh my God, am I going to feel like this for the rest of my life? So I didn't want to smoke pot because I didn't want to feel that way. And now when I smoke pot and I feel that way, I want to continue to feel that way. That's the difference. Back then, I wanted to be normal again. Now I just want to stay in that high frame of mind for the rest of my life.
Forever, yeah.
Right. So it doesn't scare me anymore. I welcome that.
You welcome. Okay, so if I stress you out, you'll just drop an edible and everything will be fine.
You know how I chain smoked cigarettes back in the day? Yeah, that's what I'm going to start doing with pot.
you chain eating edibles.
Name a popular fruit.
Orange.
Clay Aiken. Something in your closet.
Shoo.
Scary monsters. Something you do on the weekends.
Go to church.
Black guys.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
All right, time for a game. Let's play the Family Feud.
Oh, awesome.
Do you like the Family Feud?
I do.
Okay, what they do is they go out and they ask 100 people a question, and then you got to guess what the number one, number two, three, and four answer is on the board.
The top answers to the survey questions.
The top answers. So number one, you got to name an animal that starts with the letter E.
Elephant.
Number one. Very good. Three more.
Earthworm?
Earthworm? No.
Oh. Elephant baby?
Last one. Last one, or the Michaels family can steal.
Let's see. An
animal that starts with the letter E. Go.
I'm trying to think. E-W-E-U.
No, the Michaels family can steal.
Oh, no.
The number two answer on the board is eagle.
Oh, it's a bird, not an animal, but okay.
Eel is number three, and number four is emu.
Wait, you have emu, but not you?
You is not a thing. You is not a thing.
It's a female sheep. A you.
No, that's a bitch.
No, you're a bitch.
All right. Name a word that rhymes with teeny.
Bikini.
No.
It's not on the list?
No, it's not. Name a word that rhymes with teeny.
Bikini rhymes with teeny.
It's not on the list.
Okay, fine. Meanie.
Meanie is number three.
Wow, there's more than
guess
that.
Again.
Okay, let's see. Martini.
One more the Michaels family can steal.
Oh, my
Name
God.
A word that rhymes with teeny.
Weenie.
Weenie is the number one answer.
Well, because I just looked at you, and I was like, what a weenie. So I got that one quickly.
Okay, two more.
How about beanie?
Beanie is number two. You got one more.
All right.
Or the Michaels family can steal. There's 70 points to steal.
Oh, wow. There's too much pressure on this. Let's see. Tahini.
No. Number four, genie.
Oh, that's stupid.
Only two people out of 100 said genie. So, oh, but it's on the
they're
board.
Stupid. They didn't say martini. They're okay. Stupid.
Martini and bikini was better. Genie made the board. Name something that gets pumped up.
The volume. What? Pump up the volume.
What
pump
else?
Pump up the volume. Dance, dance.
Name
on,
something that gets pumped up.
A tire.
Tire's number one answer.
Okay. Muscles.
Very good. That's number four. You got two more.
Wow. Muscles isn't number two. Okay.
No.
Something gets pumped up. A balloon.
Very good. That's number two. One more, or the Michaels family can steal.
Oh, I hate the fucking Michaels family. They're doing really well
they
here.
Steal. Name something that gets pumped up. 10 people out of 100 said this.
How's the volume not on there? Pump up the volume.
That's not how Family Feud works. You got one more. Name something that gets pumped up.
Pumped up kicks. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks.
God, we used to get bitched at about that song. No, ball. Ball. 10 people. Number three on the board. Ball.
A ball? That's stupid. Who pumps up a ball?
That's what people do. All right. Next, name something that rhymes with grow up.
Well, obviously, throw up.
Throw up is number one on the board. Name something that rhymes with grow up.
Anthony is a loser up.
One more. The Michaels family can steal. Ugh. We're not even going for three anymore. You just get two chances. Name something that rhymes with grow up. I'm already sick of this game.
Let's see. A, B, bro up. No, it's not a thing. Crow up, not a thing. Dro, no. Fro. I guess, you know what? If you're three and you go, fro, I froed up. I fro up. maybe that's it. A three-year-old going, I fro up.
Fro up. Okay, that's not on the list. Show up is number two.
Oh, show up.
Blow up, you know, is number three. And slow up is number four.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah.
Those are all in the bottom of the alphabet. I didn't get there yet.
Name something that's easier to catch than catching a man.
COVID.
That is the number one answer. Cold, flu, COVID. What is easier to catch than catching a man?
Catch some D.
No, that's D is not on the list.
Oh, well, I can catch some D anytime I want.
I don't think you can anymore. back in the day, you could catch it all day long. Now you get three strikes.
Is catch a cold on there, or is that's under?
That's the same thing as flu, cold.
Or COVID. Okay.
Name something that's easier to catch than catching a man.
How about a ball? Because I didn't get ball in the last one.
No, you get one more of the Michaels family.
Wait,
can
ball
steal.
Ball isn't on here?
Ball
catch
is not
ball.
On there. No. I don't.
Catch a break.
Fish is number two.
For fuck's sake, who goes fishing? Who catches fish?
Everybody else other than you. Number three is bus. And number four, frisbee.
Frisbee? Who are the hippies that did this survey?
Okay, last one because I'm done with this game. Name something to which a lot of kids seem to be almost addicted to.
Bitch, I don't have no fucking kids. I don't know.
What are kids addicted to? What does it seem like a lot of kids are addicted to?
Vaping.
Vaping did not make the list. The Michaels family can steal if you get one more. Name something a lot of kids seem almost addicted to.
Oxy. It's a big problem in the country right now.
Kids, yes, Oxy is the number one answer. games, computer games, number one.
Okay.
Candy, junk food is number two. Okay. Television, number three, and music, number four.
You can't be addicted to music. You're just listening to music. It's not an addiction.
I didn't make this game up. I'm just, it's Family Feud.
See, Oxy is a problem in this country.
Oxy is a problem and kids are addicted to it, yes.
Okay.
So, yes, you win. You get all you get. Yeah.
No, I lost to the stupid Michaels family.
You've got a dirty, whorish mouth is what you have.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
All right. Let me first get some terminology out of the way before I read you this question from a listener. Do you know what ENM is?
Emu.
ENM.
Emu.
No, in the world of sex and relationships, do you know what ENM is?
Ass to mouth.
No, that's... That's ATM.
It's safe to say, no, I do not know.
Okay. It is ethical non-monogamy. Okay. So that means that you and your partner have decided together to be non-monogamous, that you're going to have an open relationship, but you're not cheating on each other. You've had the conversation and you're trying to do it ethically. And part of doing it ethically is to set rules, set boundaries, decide ahead of time what's okay, what's not okay.
How about if I just decide that on my own? Or do you have to actually talk to them first?
You got to actually talk to them first.
Oh,
yeah,
I can't.
Conversation with your sig-other.
Yeah. I just can't think it and then do it.
No, because then it's probably cheating, which is not good because it's that's unethical.
Then it's ass to mouth.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask what you're doing while you're having unethical non-monogamy, but okay. So anyway, we got a really interesting message from a listener that I wanted to run by you because I'd love to know what you think about this. So this woman, we'll call her Betsy because that's her name. She and her husband decided that she said we're on a slow journey to ENM. Okay. She brought up the conversation and he said that he was open to it. It wasn't his idea. It was her idea that she wanted to basically open their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'm okay with the relationship we have. And she's like, well, let's try ethical non-monogamy and, you know, see what the deal is. So she has always been bisexual. So she's interested in having sex with women, not other men. She wants to have sex with women.
Mm-hmm.
He's 100% straight. So he only wants to have sex with women.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, well, okay, let's do this. If I'm going to hook up with a woman, I'll let you know. If it's a woman who wants to join both of us, I'll let you know. And then you can decide if you want to, you know, have a three-way or, you know, all of us have sex together, whatever we want to do. So he's like, fine, I'll do it. So here's the twist. Here's the problem. She keeps meeting women. And then when she suggests getting together with her and her husband, they're really into the husband, but they're not that into her. So they either pretend to be into her, like they play up to her, like you and I are going to hook up. And then they see the husband. The husband's very good looking and apparently he's very well hung. So the minute they see that, they're like, I need that D.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's mostly with women who are bisexual. She's not with lesbians because lesbians would not want a man in the room. Everyone's upfront about everything right from the start. The problem she keeps having, so this happened 3 separate times. That she found women that she was messaging back and forth on, you know, whatever message sites or Reddit, subreddit or whatever. And they met in person, they had coffee, they were kind of into each other. And then she was like, you know, would you be down with getting together with me and my husband? Sure.
Mm. Look at his wiener. Here's
and
a
then
photo.
As soon as she said, as soon as they walk into the room, she said she's met 3 women, but after 2 times, she did not get together with the 3rd woman because it's like, why is she there?
Mm.
You know, he wasn't even into the non-monogamy to begin with. It was her idea. So she can have sex with women and that he can partake if he wants. But the women show up and they're just really into him.
Mm.
And she said, like, mostly she ends up, it feels like a cuckold relationship where she like sits there and watches him have sex with other women. That wasn't the idea.
Right.
You know? So she doesn't know what to do. So she was asking us what we thought about this and what we think. Do we have any advice for her?
I think once you open that door, you can't close it again. I mean, once you let somebody into the room, I think it's too late then. You have to stand by it.
You mean in the moment?
Yeah. I mean, once she says, let's bring a new woman in, and a new woman comes in, and she is into the husband more, she brought it on. I mean, she's the one that brought it up. So she's going to have to deal with it. If she wants to continue to bang women, she's going to have to deal with they might like him more.
Well, what about the idea of just she goes out on dates with women and that there is no three of us thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not involved. Like, he didn't want to do it to begin with. So what about the idea of just it feels unfair, but I know a lot of surprisingly like crazy amount of couples who are in open relationships where the woman wants to have sex with the people and the guy doesn't.
Mm.
And one of my really good friends that's in one of these situations, she bangs other people all the time, men, women, whatever. And her husband never does. And they're a don't ask, don't tell couple, but it's obvious if she's like, listen, I'm not coming home tonight. He knows why she's not coming home, you know, or she waits till he's out of town. And then she's sort of like not available for a few hours by phone. So it's kind of obvious what she's doing. But he finally admitted to her after all these years together, he has never had sex with anybody but her. He just wanted her to be able to do what she wanted because he knew that was the price of admission. But he never wanted to have an open marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So now she feels terrible. Now she's like, wait, the whole idea of an open marriage is that we both, you know, he travels for a living. He's not banging women in other cities. She was sure that he was, but he finally admitted to her after all these years, he never, ever has.
Yeah. Let me tell you a secret about men. Women can go 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times in one night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Men once. Once and we're done.
Well, it depends how old you are. I mean, when I was in my 20s, that wasn't true at all.
Okay, once you get past 30, for a guy, once and you're done. For a girl, you can go 9, 10, 11, 12 times. It doesn't matter. So I don't want to bring somebody else in. I have enough to deal with you.
But I'm not saying, okay, I'm no one's asking you to go 17 times in a night, like just keep having sex. I'm saying, even if it's just the one time and it's mostly foreplay, our Betsy, the person who sent us the email, her problem is that she thinks she's going to be hooking up with a woman and she ends up doing nothing but sitting there.
She just watches.
Right. And that wasn't the game. That wasn't what they agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
So what she wants to know is, should she close up her relationship again? Or should she ask if maybe she just hooks up with women? Maybe she can hook up with, you know, women that are not into men, that don't want to have a threesome, that just want to.
Then he's like, going to feel left out. You know,
he's not into it. She's not going to take them home while he's there. She'll go to their house or they'll go to a hotel. But the idea is she wants to hook up with women. That's the whole point.
Yeah. Try to close that book again with the husband and just go out with women and don't bring up, I have a husband at home. You want to join?
Right. Right. Just be honest and say, I'm married, but I like women also.
I like this on Tuesdays.
Right.
Wednesday through Friday, I like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do that.
I think as long as she's honest with the women that she's hooking up with, I think that's probably the answer, because he's the one who's not that into it.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be surprised if he comes home and says he'd like to also bang other women. And then you just have to deal with that as it comes up.
Right. Because you're banging other women. He might bang other women. You got to deal with that.
Right.
Because you are the one that brought that up. You brought it up. You got to live by it forever.
Well, no, you don't. You could take it back. They're just trying it for now. She said, we are trying E&M.
Yeah. And 10 years down the road, I don't remember you saying you didn't want to do that anymore. I just heard you wanted to do ass to mouth, and that's
not ass to mouth.
It's not ass to mouth. Okay.
No. I mean, maybe, but no, that's not what the issue is.
All right. I got a sex question for you.
Okay.
So this woman emails us and says, I found out recently my boyfriend keeps nudes from his exes. and he uses them to masturbate with.
Okay.
Other than this, I'm fine. He's a great guy. Love him to death. We want to get married. I would rather him watch porn, but the porn he watches are his exes. And he says there's only one, but I think there's more. Should I make him delete this photo and videos off his phone?
No. Why? What's the difference? If he wanted to be with those women, he'd still be with them. You know, and some of those women he probably had shitty relationships with, but he had great sex with them. And what's the difference if he's looking at the porn on his phone or if he's looking at it in his brain? Because he can lay there and fantasize about it. What's the difference?
I remember that.
Right.
Look at that. It's right there.
Exactly. So you can't unring that bell. You can't tell him to turn off his brain. He's just, the visual stimulation really helps because, you know, it's so funny. Like, we look back and we're like, oh, that was hot sex. That guy's body was awesome. If we actually had video of it, we'd probably be like, ooh, wow, not as hot as I remembered. So if anything, having video and having pictures, and also those women have since aged, or maybe
they don't look like that now.
They don't look like that anymore. None of us do. I would like to masturbate to photos of what I and my boyfriends looked like
20 years ago. So you have no problem with it. So if your boyfriend had photos still from a 10-year-old relationship, as long as they're not new photos, you're fine with it.
Exactly. As long as they're not new photos. That's the thing. If the person that he's fantasizing about is still sending him new stuff, that's a problem. Because that means they still have a sexual connection that surpasses your relationship. So the fact that they're old and their memories, and listen, he was a different guy at that time. He probably, part of the fantasy is who he was then in that relationship, who he was as a sexual being, you know.
Is there anything at all that I can say to get you to call this off?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Shut up.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
I ain't in the mood to laugh.
Going with that, I don't know why she would. This story is not going to come as a surprise to you because you've known me a long time, but it took me this long to realize that I cannot get out of my own way.
Oh, no. This can never go well. What happened now?
Well, let me tell you what happened a few years back and a lesson that I should have learned that I realized too late that I should have learned that lesson years ago because I did it again today.
Mm.
So remember when I used to do so much TV that you made the joke that I was on TV more than dust?
Right. You're always on my TV. I would wake up and you would be on TV.
Right. Because I was doing Entertainment Tonight, Inside Edition, CNN, Fox, MSNBC. I mean, pick a channel. I was always on
there,
it. But to talk about,
there was a time when I went to Netflix because I was safe on Netflix that you weren't there, and I was working late one night, and I had the Rick Springfield special on, and then you pop up. I'm like, holy shit, she's everywhere.
Right. So at that time, I had a lot of shows that I did pretty regularly, and I got very comfortable with the hosts. And a lot of the hosts were like, you can have fun with them, and it wasn't a big deal. I took it a little too far with Shepard Smith. And let me just say, this was a time that Fox News, they weren't batshit like they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And neither was CNN or MSNBC. They were just news channels at the time. Like, I was on CNN talking about Lindsay Lohan. Like, they would never have that now. They wouldn't have somebody on doing a whole segment on, you know, what Britney Spears is up to. They just don't do that anymore.
Mm.
But they used to. They used to, because they used to do like a little bit of politics, a little bit of news. Sometimes I'd be on there as like a parenting expert to talk about a study that came out, you know, that kind of thing. And in fact, I was on Shepard Smith's show talking about, I had just done a study. I just done a thing with him on Candy Crush, and they got these big giant Candy Crush screens for us to play because it was when Candy Crush was first a big thing, and I explained it to him, and I thought we had a really good time. So they invite me back because there's a study that had come out about distracted driving, distracted walking, about being distracted and what it does for you, what it does to your brain. And distracted by your phone, distracted by anything, just the idea of what distraction does to your brain. So, I was a psychologist. I am a psychologist. So I was there to explain
what
as
it
a
does.
Psychologist. Yeah. So I've been on the show a bunch. Like I told you, you know, the they built us these big giant Candy Crush things that we were like playing these. It was funny. We're running around having a good time laughing. So I'm back doing this study. And I notice that as Shep asked me a question, as I'm answering, I notice that he is not paying attention. He's off somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I see him looking down, see him looking at other things. And I said, you know, and like things distract you. So you're not really focused about like what's going on right in front of you, you know, kind of like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making a joke like, you know, because it was obvious that he was like looking at other things. I was like, you know, kind of like right now, mm-hmm. just funny. And he goes, I'm not ignoring you. My producer is talking to me in my ear. I'm at work. He was such a dick about it. And this was live on television.
Right.
Okay. And he like, it's let me have
probably
it.
Probably the best TV he did that week.
Yeah. No, his whole career, believe me, is the most right. honest moment
that
he ever had.
Goes on his air check.
Yeah, exactly. His whole fucking life. It was the only honest moment he ever had. So I was like, whoa. Well, I misread that. And I spoke to friends of mine who knew him. I had a friend that worked at Fox for a long time. And she was like, yeah, he's got no sense of humor. I was like, I didn't realize. I was just joking with him about Candy Crush a couple of days ago. And like, that was a rarity. Like, that's not that guy. So after that, not only did my Twitter and Instagram blow up with people like, that was so rude. I can't believe you talked to him like that. And then other people that were like, God, he was so rude. I can't believe he talked to you like that. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it was either people are on my side or his side, but it, you know, it was like a thing. People were had an opinion about it, and he banned me from his show.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I never went back and did a show again, and that's fine because he got fired. He never did his show again either. He ended up getting fired.
It went on another week.
Yeah, so it wasn't like he was there much longer anyway. But I left going, you know, that's what happens when you do these shows and you get too comfortable with the host, is that you start to like treat them like your friend, not like the host of a show who deserves your respect and has earned your respect. And that's their job. And you're just a guest, you know, and no one's paying you to be there. It's like you're there on your own free will. So why would you be a total bitch? Like, it doesn't make any sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I learned my lesson there. And even like, you know, you and I had AJ Hammer on our show on a regular basis. We had fun with him. We had that game Slap AJ Hammer that we made, and it was hilarious. And he thought it was funny. And then I would go on Showbiz Tonight and he and I would joke around. So I kind of got used to that once you get to know somebody thing. And I, you know, I made the mistake with Shep. I didn't read the room.
Mm-hmm.
But I always remember that lesson. I thought, you know what? I'm never going to step over that line again. Even if somebody on television is being kind of like fun and jokey with me, I'm just going to be like, ha ha, yeah, I understand. Like, I'm not going to say anything or get in anyone's face.
It's their show. Let them do what they want. And you just
right.
do what you
Shut
do.
Shut the fuck up.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You're the guest. Shut the fuck up.
Right.
I wish I would have remembered that today.
Oh, no.
So this week I was on, I do this show, this Australian show, Sunrise 7, and it's the Good Morning America of Australia. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
They have millions and millions of viewers. In fact, when I have friends just visiting Australia, they'll text me and be like, oh my God, you're on my television here. Like, that's how big the show
is.
Like,
their Rick Springfield moment.
Right.
It's like, holy shit, she's even here.
But it's Good Morning America, the Today Show, and anything else you would watch on morning television combined. It is the only thing people have tuned in
mm-hmm.
when they're at home and the television is on. It is the show in Australia. So the hosts are Natalie, we call her Nat, and Kashi, which is his nickname. So it's like Nat and Kashi. And they're adorable and they're funny and I love them. And, you know, when I first got on the show, they would just ask you a question. I would just start answering. And the producer was like, just, you know, you can say, good morning, Nat and Kashi, or thanks for having me, Nat and Kashi, or acknowledge them.
Mm.
You know, I'm not a TV journalist. I don't know how that works. So I started using their names and be like, well, you know, Nat and Kashi, here's how this goes, or here's what I think about this.
Can you see them or you just hear them?
No, I can see them. They have a monitor.
They have a monitor. Okay, so if Kashi wasn't there that day and John was filling in for Kashi, you would know.
I would know, but the producer tells you in your ear, Kashi's out, you're talking to Nat and John
Got
today.
It.
Yeah. But you can see it. So I go into this, they use several different studios and I have done Zoom with them before. because I've been in a situation where they're like, can you join us now? And I don't have time to get to the studios that they have here in New York. So I got to just jump on Zoom. But even on Zoom, you could see them, like you could see people on Zoom. It's no big deal.
Right.
So the way they, so the studio I normally go to, they put you in like this room and there's a camera in there. And then under the camera, there's two screens. One of them is you, so you can see yourself and how you look and make sure your hair isn't all over the place and your lighting is good. And then the other screen on the left is the show.
Mm-hmm.
So you can watch the
it's
show.
Kashi.
You can see yourself and watch the show. Yeah, see Nat and Kashi. So this week, I did a segment on Sunday about Aaron Carter's death, the sudden death. We did a segment about that. The next night, we did, they had me back on to talk about Rebel Wilson's baby and how she's out of nowhere has a baby. Like, she didn't tell us she was having a surrogate have a baby for her and what that's about. And, you know, and I explained that, no, we did know something about Rebel Wilson. She posted this. She tweeted, you know, I follow Rebel, so I knew. And today we talked about Jennifer Aniston, your girlfriend, who's on the cover of Allure magazine and talking about that she's not the cold-hearted bitch people think she is. She was actually going through IVF treatments trying to have a baby. So she's not this child-hating marriage breaker-upper kind of, you know, the things that she's been accused of in the past. So, you know, so we're talking about it. And the way we start the interview, they like me because I bring my personality. I don't just give answers like this and move on, you know, because, listen, I'm aging. I don't look great on camera anymore. So I have to at least bring the personality. So it's Nat and Kashi. I say hi to Nat and Kashi. And the first question is, she's telling us about this IVF. Did we know about this before? And I say hi to them. And then I say, you know, just when you thought you knew everything about your favorite TV icon, she peels another a layer off the onion. Like, this is amazing. And no, we didn't know this. And I explain why. And then they ask me another question. I just, I give my answer. And why is she doing it now? And well, she said, I can't say this on television, but she says she doesn't give a expletive anymore. You know, and also probably because Matthew Perry's book came out and painted her in a good light and she feels like she can talk to us now and she wants to share this, you know, whatever. And then they start asking me about her and the paparazzi because she does mention the paparazzi. So the segment is over. We're done. They're saying goodbye to me. I could have just said, thanks, Nat and Kashi. Thanks for having me. But instead, I say, well, you guys know what it's like having the paparazzi follow you. I'm sure they follow you guys around all the time. And I meant it as a joke, but you can tell they didn't quite take it that way. And maybe there's a chance that they do get followed by paparazzi because they are so, this is a huge show in Australia. And I realized that I might have said the wrong thing because they're like, okay, Cooper, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Like, it was a really quick, and I'm hoping that they just had to go.
Right.
Really quickly. They just, they had to get out. They had to move on to the next thing. And I took too long, but it was that moment where I thought, oh fuck, I am way too comfortable with these people that I really do not know. I feel like I know them because I see them on TV all the time. And I talk to them on TV a couple of times a week when I do their show.
Right.
But I don't know them and I am a guest. And I was afraid that I was just saying that kind of like a off the cuff thing. Like, well, you know how it is with the paparazzi. You guys get followed like as a joke. But the truth is, I don't know if they get followed or not. That was a stupid thing to say.
No, I think the segment was over and the producer is talking in their ear at that time saying we got to go to this next. So I don't think they took it a certain way. I just think they went, oh, okay.
I felt like even if they didn't take it wrong, it was that one moment where I just pushed it a little too. I was good. I was in the clear. I was done. I did my
segment.
You
got to learn to shut up.
I gave good answers. I was charming. I showed my personality. I showed how much I know about Jennifer Aniston because they said, well, what about X, Y, and Z? I was like, well, you know, she did write that op-ed in 2016 for the Huffington Post where she says, blah, blah, blah. You know, the fact that I even know that shit, you know, is the reason why they have me there. And I was done. I was out. I could have just said thank you and goodbye, and that would have been it. But for some reason, I just...
I think they have you on to get that extra, that little kick that they don't get from somebody else. I wouldn't take it as any way other than the producer was talking to him. I wouldn't worry about it. If they don't call you ever again, then it's probably
then
a problem. Yeah, then
yeah.
You'll know.
Yeah.
You should just shut up and say thank you.
They're probably like, that bitch needs a haircut. Her and all of her hair. Like, we don't need to talk to hair. Like, hair shows up, and we just sit there talking to hair for 4.5 minutes.
No, I think you're, as everything else in your life, you're overthinking it.
It's just a feeling I had. It's not. Listen, I've said stupid shit on television.
Never a feeling have you had has been right.
That's been right? Okay.
Never have you had a good feeling or a bad feeling about something and it's been correct. It's always been the opposite.
I hope you're right. I hope it wasn't that I just pushed it just a little too far.
I wouldn't worry about
but you
it.
Know what? It was a wake-up call for me. It was a wake-up call that the next time they call me in, if they ever call me in again, it's funny because I had gone. So the thing about their show, every show has a look. Like when I used to work on, I worked on the Tyra Banks show for 2 years. For people that don't know, I was the relationship expert on the Tyra Banks show. So I would sit in the audience. Occasionally I'd be on the stage with Tyra, but mostly I would sit in the audience and she would talk to her guests. And then she would say, joining us in the audience is, and she was very kind. Like I have her on my website saying one of our favorite relationship expert, one of our favorite guests, one of our favorite, you know, whatever. Like she even says at one point, I just love this woman about me. Tyra said that about me. So I was on the show for 2 years. The thing about that show is when you got there, every show puts you through hair and makeup, of course, but you also had to go through wardrobe because the show had a look. And the look of the show was bright colors. If you go back and look at old episodes of Tyra, you'll see even the audience is in like bright pink. They tell them what to wear. Bright colors, no black, no dark colors, nothing, just bright and happy. Tyra was always in hot pink. And then as a guest, you're always in yellow or something like that. That was the look of that show. The look of Sunrise Australia is similar. It's a lot of really bright colors. Occasionally someone's in black, but it's because they're really pretty and blonde and can get away with it. But for the most part, everybody is in like bright blue, like fluorescent colors and yellows and reds and pinks and just beautiful, beautiful colors. But they're all covered up. No one's showing their boobs. They almost never show their shoulders. Occasionally you'll get like but really it's all very buttoned up. No one's trying to be sexy. They just are. So I had to buy a whole bunch of clothes just to wear on the show. You know, because I don't know
like
anything.
Yellows and
yeah,
oranges.
Everything I own is black. I have a couple of things that are denim blue, but other than that, I own nothing. So I had gone and spent all this money, and I bought like maybe 10 different tops in green and yellow and pink and bright colors, and I've gone through all of them. So today on the way home, I was like, well, let me stop by H&M. I'll check out their sale rack. Maybe there's orange or yellow or some bright color I can buy. And I walked in. I said, why am I going to buy clothing? Why am I going to spend money on clothing just for this show that is probably never going to happen again?
Yeah, you're just wasting money because it's
over. Wasting money. After today, after I just pushed it a little too far and I had that feeling, I was like, now I'm going to go, what, spend $50 on clothes? Yeah. No, that's really stupid.
Yeah, you called them fuckhead on their own show. That's what you said.
Well, that's what I feel like I did.
Yeah, you're fuckheads. Thanks. Fuck off. Hate you guys. They suck really bad. And then the camera goes out. So that's what you did.
But it feels like that's what, just by going like, well, you guys know, you probably get filed by paparazzi all the time. Kidding, joke. No, it's like out of context. The Aaron Carter thing on Sunday, when you're on television, people just hear what they want to hear. You know, radio's a little different because people don't have the visuals. They just have your voice and they have no choice but to listen to you. On television, so what I said about Aaron Carter on Sunday was, I talked to a friend of mine who works with the LAPD because I wanted some insider information. I wondered, when he was found in a bathtub, what's the big investigation? Isn't it obvious that either he drowned by accident or he drowned on purpose or it was drug related. I mean, it's one of those things. And then you just need a toxicology. What's the big investigation? And my friend said to me, we have to follow protocol. And the protocol is when somebody drowns, even though it can look like an accidental drowning or a purposeful drowning or that kind of thing, homicides are often hidden by drownings.
Right.
We don't think it's a homicide. There's no reason. There's no evidence it's a homicide. But it is our protocol to make sure that the drowning is not a staged homicide.
And you should know this because you watch all those shows about killers and things.
Tons. Yeah. Right. Tons of those shows where it's really easy to stage a drowning. So, and my friend said to me, you know, in this situation, my friend is not working on this case. It's just somebody affiliated with the LAPD who knows all these protocols. And they had said to me, they just have to rule that out. They don't think that's what it is, but they, you know, it's part of their protocol to rule it out. That's all. I literally said exactly what I just said to you. You can watch it. There's a clip of it. It blows up on social media and on, there's like a million YouTube things dedicated to me saying that the Aaron Carter thing was probably a homicide, which I never said. I never said it was a homicide. I never said it was a homicide. I never said I thought, calling me a conspiracy theorist. All this, she's going to start a conspiracy theory. What is she talking about? I can't believe in her, the investigation. She's saying it's homicide. I never say it's a homicide. I explain the reason why the investigation is taking so long is because they have a protocol of, that's, for example, if somebody is murdered and it's obviously not the husband, they have to at least rule out the husband.
Right. Because you always think it's the husband.
Yeah, they have to make sure it's not the husband, make sure he didn't hire anybody, get that done, get that out of the way so then they can actually go with the investigation and go where the investigation takes them. It's just, again, it's protocol. So that's all I was explaining. But of course, you know, so I feel like I say things on television very, very innocuous. But then I leave and go, oh, what fucking shit is going to happen now? Like, yeah. Now what are they going to say?
People just hear what they want to hear, and they have keyboards. I mean, that's, it could have been a murder because 2 days before he died, his girlfriend said, you're going to die.
What a hero I would look like if it comes out that it is a homicide. And it, she said it was a homicide. We said, fuck you. Look at it, it's a homicide. No, this again, there's no way it's a homicide. The girlfriend also called 911. And said that he was a danger to himself.
Right.
You know, they TMZ played that 911 call of her calling and saying, like a week earlier, that she was very concerned about him.
Can you imagine the amount, if you get just a little bit of shit for saying something like that? Can you imagine an outlet like TMZ?
Right.
How much shit they get on an ongoing? If they say one thing about Harry Styles. That's right. Out of context. I can just imagine the shitstorm that comes down on them.
Speaking of Harry Styles, have you seen Don't Worry, Darling yet?
No, I can't with that. It's no, I can't.
Okay, well, if you didn't see it in the movie theater, it's also on HBO Max.
I watched the previews last night because I was thinking about watching it. I can't. It's not a movie.
No, it's not a you movie, but it was such big news, the whole story about Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde versus Florence Pugh. And I got to say, like, at first I was like, I didn't really get Florence Pugh. I've seen like one or two things she's been in, but I really didn't quite. It wasn't anything that she starred in, so I didn't see Little Women, you know. She's gorgeous and she is fucking talented. She's really good. Like, I was amazed. I was like, she needs to be in everything. I don't care that she's difficult to work with. I don't care that she's having this whole thing with Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde. I could give a shit. She is so fucking talented. I want to see everything that she does from here on in. I that's it. I'm hooked. I saw her in Don't Worry, Darling. She carries the movie. The whole movie is about her, really. It's about her character. She carries the whole thing. Harry Styles has basically a supporting role, if that. It's her movie.
Yeah, I watched the I watched the preview and said, I think I've seen this movie like 8 times before. It looks like the same story of Stepford Wives or what. It looks like every movie I've seen before.
That's not what it is. That's why it's misleading then, because that is not at all. It's actually, it's like Stepford Wives meets
Black Mirror. Kubrick?
No. Well, see? Yeah, it's very Black Mirror-ish, actually. What's that Stanley Kubrick movie where they made them hold their eyes open? Oh, Clockwork Orange.
Right.
Yeah, it's Clockwork Orange meets Stepford Wives.
Yeah, and right there, I'm checked out.
Oh.
Yeah, I want Spider-Man meets the Flintstones. That's what I want. Yeah. You know, I don't want Stepford Wives meets Clock. I can't with that.
Right.
And Olivia Wilde doesn't even look good in it.
She made herself look a little older. She's supposed to be a little bit older because she's supposed to, I'm not going to give anything away, but she's supposed to be a mom with children of a certain age. So there's a reason why she looks like what she looks like in the movie.
Yeah. I put it this way. I stopped it halfway through the preview and went, you can't even, if I can't make it through the preview, I'm not going to make it through the movie.
Through the movie, yeah. Okay, maybe that's not a movie for you. Well, there's a lot of good movies coming out. You're a Marvel fan, right?
Yes.
Okay. You know that... Did you watch WandaVision?
Yes. Loved it.
Okay. So, you know, they're doing a... I don't know. I guess it's sort of a prequel. They're doing... It's going to be just Vision. I think it's called, like, Vision Quest or something like that. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called, but I think it's, like, Vision Quest. Vision's in the title. It's just Vision. It's just his story.
Right.
But they're doing it just like they did WandaVision. It's the same people who did WandaVision, and they're doing this Vision quest, so it's just going to be just him, and Paul Bettany is starring in it, so totally psyched for that. And then, you know, in WandaVision, Catherine Hahn.
The neighbor.
You know, who plays Agatha?
Yeah.
The neighbor? So they have her origin story coming out also.
It's too much. It's like too much Star Wars. It's too much for me to handle. You know, I haven't even watched the new Star Wars yet, the Andor. I can't with that. It's just too
much. Well, I'm not a Star Wars. Yeah, but you're a huge Star Wars fan.
I know.
So why would
it's
you
just
that?
Too much in my life. It's just too much TV.
Well, so what should they do? Should they create new characters for you? You don't want to see origin stories or like Ant-Man 7?
Yeah, I don't want to see Ant-Man. I didn't like Ant-Man. I don't know. Just make more Spider-Man, I think.
Yeah, I'm torn about the Ant-Man thing because there's people that fucking love it.
Nobody loves it. I mean, people like it. People don't love it.
Right. Okay, well, I hope that's true.
It's like Doctor Strange. It's all right.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people didn't like the newer Doctor Strange, the multiverse one.
Yeah,
I thought it was fucking awesome. I loved it. I thought it was really good, really well done. I was hooked, and I was like, I'm waiting for the next one. I want to see another Doctor Strange. But Ant-Man, people seem to really like. I don't find, of all the superhero qualities and traits and like the type of superhero stuff, being able to shrink yourself down tiny is not exciting to me. I don't really love it. You know, I like the fact that Doctor Strange can like go through universes and times and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I like Spider-Man, how he goes from building to building. I love Daredevil, how he's just like a real guy, but then he seems to also have, he can climb buildings too. You know, and it's weird.
Yeah, but I want Paul Rudd in a romantic comedy. I don't want Paul Rudd as a superhero.
Like, stop shrinking yourself.
Stop it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get with Seth Rogen and make another funny movie that makes me laugh.
Right. Go. You and Jennifer Aniston do a movie together.
Exactly. What are you doing? Stop it with that. So, yeah, it's just too, it's too much. It's too much Marvel. I
beauty
can't.
Is on the inside. And inside you is just awful.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
We had an election this week. Mm-hmm. We'll never know the results, I think, to some races because it just goes on and on and on.
Right, forever.
It's the new thing now. But I came up with an idea when I was actually going to the place to vote this week.
Okay.
I said, what we need, and I don't care what you stand for. I don't care what you're for. I don't care who has you in their back pocket. I don't care. I want every candidate to be hooked up to a lie detector.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if you want to run for governor, you can. We're going to get this guy from the FBI who really knows how to do the lie detector thing. And then you can, it's like a lottery where you can go in and ask him questions. Like the public in his district can ask questions.
Right, right.
So, okay, you're against abortion. Have you ever paid for one?
Right.
You know, have you ever taken money from
a super PAC?
A super PAC. You know, you can ask questions. If you don't want to take the lie detector test, then don't run.
But the problem is every single politician will fail.
Good.
There's nobody
then,
out there.
There'll be one person running. It'll be one governor for the world then.
It's pretty much like John Fetterman, because he doesn't give a fuck, and nobody else. He's the only one that's like brutally honest, where you're like, ooh, but you know what? It's honest.
And Fetterman's another one I don't freaking understand, because I see him from a distance, and the dude's like in jeans and a sweatshirt. I'm like, you're a politician, at least dress for it.
No, that's the thing. He's not a politician. He's a regular guy who grew up there with the steel. With the steel mills. He's,
okay,
it's Pennsylvania.
We'll put on
it's
a
Pittsburgh.
Shirt.
Listen, no. That's his whole thing. It's weird that conservatives don't love him because he actually has a lot of conservative values. He's really into unions. He's really into guns. Mm. He's really into like, he's such a regular guy.
I even want him hooked up. I want everybody hooked up.
Right.
And I want to ask some questions on live TV. Have you ever killed anybody? No. Get him out.
Right.
You know, then, because when I went to vote, half the people, three quarters of the people, I have no idea who they are. And
right.
And in my community, there's this Republicans running against nobody. So it's like, pick this guy or a blank, or you can write something in. So I don't even know why in my state I vote, because I'm in such a red state, it doesn't matter. And you're in such a blue state, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Well, no, it did matter for us, actually. It was a close call. It was a squeaker for governor. It really was. I mean, it's still down to the wire. They're still asking for a recount. That's how close it was.
But they're always going to ask for a recount. If you don't win, then it's fixed.
No. Okay, so Letitia James, our attorney general, trounced the guy that she was up against. So he can ask for a recount, but it's not going to matter.
Right.
Because everyone voted for her, even like Republicans. But for governor, it was so close that recount could really change things. So it's not the same thing. It's not at all. See, I don't know if I've told you this before, but my idea, I think, is just as good as yours. Yours is very good. I like that idea a lot. My idea is that the problem is people vote, if there's an R or a D next to your name, then they'll vote for you. That's
right.
It. They don't know anything about your platform, who you are. They don't really care. I think that we should all do it like The Voice, where we all sit there with our chairs, with our backs to the contestant, you know, to the person that we have to vote for. And just tell us what your platform is. We don't want to know if you're a D or an R. Just tell us what you believe in. Tell us what you care about. Tell us what matters to you. And then we'll decide if we're going to vote for you. We'll turn our chair around, maybe.
Yeah, and you have to be held to that. Because if you say that I'm for this and you're not for that, and then you change once you're in office, we should be able to burn you at the stake.
I was talking to a very liberal friend of mine, and I said, are these qualities you would want in a candidate? And I was describing, I said, there's a female candidate, and she wants I gave like a bunch of things that she wanted and a bunch of things that she was into. And my friend was like, wow, that sounds like an amazing candidate. I said, yeah, I would vote for her. Like, even if she ran for president, I would fucking vote for her.
Mm.
My friend was like, well, who is it? And I told her, and she's like, wait, that's a Republican. I was like, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
it shouldn't matter.
That's my point. You're very liberal and you wouldn't even listen to this female. And by the way, the Republicans aren't really a big fan of hers for the reason that she's too moderate for them, but yet that's what they should. If I was a part of the Republican Party making decisions, I wouldn't find somebody who's so far right. Same thing with Democrats. I wouldn't go so far left.
Mm.
We have to start all moving to the center so we can appeal to each other.
Or another thing, there was a lady running, or a couple of people running for school superintendent. Mm. I have no idea who to vote for. I'm not in that world.
Right.
You know, but my sister-in-law is a teacher, and she said, vote for this person because this person's actually a Democrat and my sister-in-law is a Republican. But she said, vote for this person because this person has actually been in a classroom and taught for 20 years. She understands. So why should I vote? And I don't know the ins and outs of these people. If you're a teacher, then you should vote for that. It's all you
the
see.
The only thing I'm qualified to vote for, though, if we go by that,